Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good, something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. 'Tis the season for giving back, and giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Alrighty. So this is the first of my, I guess, kind of like personal podcasts. I've come up with the name Gringlish. Get it? Greek English. It's kind of a Greek-focused podcast. Πρώτα τα πούμε μισά στα ελληνικά και μισά στα αγγλικά. Γιατί τα ελληνικά μου δεν πάει. Δεν είναι τόσο καλά. So, θα δούμε ό,τι μπορώ να κάνω, ό,τι μπορώ να λέω, θα τα κάνω αυτά. Έχουμε πράγματα να κάνουμε review. A lot of things we're going to, you know, talk about today. I've just written a list from that I put together on my notes, that my team has put together, questions, random stuff, business stuff, internet stuff, fun stuff, life update stuff. And what we're going to do is we're just going to go through it. Kind of a chill, kind of a, not really even a podcast, more just a what's happening type thing. And like Theo Vaughn's podcast. We're just talking. Sometimes we might have some guests, sometimes it's going to be just me, like this time, right? So, almost every single day at nighttime, I just want to rest, watch something on TV, something that doesn't, you know, you don't need to think about. And every single morning when I wake up, I have yesterday's TV show, which is always a Top Gear special. And this one is the, which one was this? Bolivia special, I think. Anyway. So, I'm going to pull up my notes. What are we talking about today? There's going to be a lot of silliness. I'm going to be a bit of a silly goose, because sometimes I'm a silly goose. Sometimes some business stuff. But let's take a look. So, this is a long list of stuff to go through. I don't know how long this is going to take, but we're starting with this. All right. Greek people. We are a menace to society. Seriously. Greek people, we walk around with this overconfidence, entitlement. In Greece, outside of Greece, all right, you know, we act like human beings sometimes. But when we're in Greece, and I'm guilty of this too, we are a menace to society, right? For example, I was at the supermarket on a Saturday, right? Saturday, of course, you know, for people who don't know, Sundays, the supermarkets are closed. So every Greek in the universe on a Saturday, last minute at 5 o'clock before the shop closes, they go do this shopping as if it's COVID 52 and we have to stock up for, you know, a zombie apocalypse, right? So we're there, I'm there because I'm a menace to society as well. And I'm waiting in line, right? I'm waiting in line. Maybe 20 people in this line at bloody Sklabinitis, right? I'm waiting in line and I see in front of me, a guy comes and there was a basket in front of me, half full, right? And this guy puts some groceries in, a young dude, and he walks away. He walks back through the supermarket. I'm looking at this thing. I'm trying to understand what's going on, right? So there's a basket in front of me. There's 10 people behind me. There's 10 people in front of me. But there's a basket on the floor in front of me, right? This guy is doing laps in the supermarket, dropping stuff in the basket so he doesn't have to wait like a malaka, like everyone else here. That is menace to society behavior. Only Greeks can do that type of level. He would have had to think about this. He got the basket. He placed it in line. He goes, you people, you're stupid. You can wait in line. I'm going to come here and do laps. And fill it up. So what do you do? What do you do? I don't have an anger issue necessarily, but I also don't like to be pushed around, right? Especially by Greeks. And my level of confidence when I'm in Greece is forget about it, right? So I say to the person next to me, I'm like, is this your basket or is this guy putting his... He's like, yeah, he's putting stuff in the basket every lap so he doesn't have to wait. I go, oh, okay. And you know the little, you know, trough of all the milks? I pick up the basket. I empty the fucking basket into the trough. All these malakias go to the milk category. I put the basket back on the basket shelf. We walk forward because we're all waiting because he has to push the basket a meter every 2 minutes. So we all just went through. And he goes, he comes, he's like, with his groceries, like, where's my basket? I go, I don't know, bro. I'll tell you if I find it. And he had to go at the back of the line, re-get all his groceries. But I don't feel bad about that. What am I supposed to do? So that was one piece of silliness. Greek menace to society. That's a whole category of behavior we're going to review on this podcast. Okay. On a more serious note, Bloomberg came out with an article. For you Greeks who don't know who Bloomberg is, it's a big news outlet. And look, this article is basically saying how Spain, Portugal, and Greece, their economic growth is quite good now. Now, they're using it as some form of like, well, you know what, the South is proving to be more successful than the North of Europe now. And I've seen a few articles like this, and it's a bit stupid, if you ask me. Because we had negative growth for how many bloody years? Like 15 years? We lost 25% of our GDP from 2008 to now. So the fact that we're growing at the big 2% a year doesn't mean much, right? Germany's whatever the growth GDP per year for last year was 0.2, right? Okay. But they also grew, I don't know, whatever it was, 20% in the last 15 years that we didn't even bloody exist. Economic growth in Greece was a fantasy, right? Is it good? Yeah, it's good. It's good that we're growing, but like we're not even going to catch up to where we were in 2008. I don't know, by the end of the decade, by 2030, we're not going to be where we were in 2008. Like some people just don't understand how bad it was. The economic crisis for Greece. They're like, oh no, it's just like, you know, you had a bad year. No, this ain't just like a US recession where it's bad for a year or two or five. It was a decade. And I came to Greece in 2018, right? And it wasn't like, we're doing really well, 2008, boop, come back up. No, it was like, we're doing well, 2008, and then worse and worse until 2018. That's when I got there. And that was, I would say, the worst time to get to Greece, to live there, because the refugee crisis hit and the economic crisis just had no sign of getting any better ever, right? Every day there was a protest. I walked from Agios Pantelimonas, Victoria, in the middle of Athens, maybe the worst place in Athens. You tell me what you think, which is the worst suburb in Athens, and then Greece. I often hear Agios Pantelimonas. The shock that I see people have when I tell them I lived in Agios Pantelimonas makes me think it's Agios Pantelimonas. And like if you Google Agios Pantelimonas Victoria, all the news articles are really not good. They're like drug dealer this, kidnapping that, shooting this, you know, burnt out car that. Like I remember calling Ubers and none of them ever coming. I remember calling the police because I saw a burnt out big trash thing, completely burnt. On fire, the car's getting on fire next to it. I call the police in my Ella, bro. There's a fucking car on fire. He goes, what's the address? We're coming now. I don't know. I just want to live on us, blah, blah, blah. They're like, oh, hung up immediately. They're like, burn it. Let it burn, bro. What's the point? It's all a dump there. So when I got there, it was pretty bad. I remember coming up to Victoria through the Victoria Metro, the green green-tiled metro, which I actually quite like that aesthetic, if it wasn't out of sheer poverty and not updating it in 120 years. But whatever, it is actually the album cover for the song Victoria from the Melises, which I love that song. But I'm coming up from that.
Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good, something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Tis the season for giving back, and giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
At Metro Station in 2018, I come up and I just see on the Platia Victorias, just maybe like 1,000 Syrians or Afghanis just sleeping on cardboard. I'm like, straight from Australia, I'm like, maybe I shouldn't have left Australia. And then I go to my cousin's place and I live there for how many years? On and off, but the economic crisis was bad. Like that, 2018 was like, oh, this is really bad. 2019, I feel like tourism dollars slowly started to see some sort of hope for the country, but 2018 was terrible, honestly terrible. 2020 and 2021, we suffered from COVID. So only really now, and like soon, we were just coming up in 2019, 2020, Greece, and they're like COVID. You're like, for tourism, which is what is the figure, 17% of our economy? We got fucked. So now the numbers are starting to look good, but in context, it's like, don't say it's good. It's like, we're dying and we're just breathing, just gasping for air. But not to put a downer on everything, but it's true. Like, they're like, oh, Greece, 2 point, they see a big graph of all the economic growth in Europe, and they're like, oh, Greece, 2.2%. So this is a comeback story. It's like, this is a comeback to medium story. This is a comeback to surviving story. We're not surviving, we've just been drowning. Anyway, so now I want to talk about some good stuff. There's these, I think before, I want to say before 2021, I have never heard anyone say the words Athens Riviera, right? What the fuck is that? What the fuck is that Athens Riviera? Is what I thought, and is what everyone thinks, especially Greeks, when they hear Athens Riviera. Because a Riviera, now we're going to go to the screen here. If I type in Athens Riviera now, let's see what even Google says. Athens Riviera, visit Greece. Here we see, there's a whole Wikipedia page. The Athenian Riviera. There you go. So they're, of course, talking about, let's call it from Piraeus, east. Going east down the coast, right? They're including Falouros, Flisvos, Glyfada, Vula, Vouliagmeni, Varkiza, Vula Beach. There you go. Now, if you're Greek, if you're Athenian, like I am, you would agree that this Riviera is pretty fucking shit, to be honest. Compared to the Côte d'Azur, right? Côte d'Azur, right? It's very different, right? When the Côte d'Azur is the French Riviera. It's a very different Riviera, right? It's gorgeous, mind you. I've been. It's amazing. A lot of Greeks have been to the French Riviera. But the reality is, it's a completely different ballgame, right? Because we're talking about the Cannes, like the Cannes Film Festival. We're talking about Saint-Tropez. We are talking about, what else are we talking about? Nice, Monaco. Like, how can you compare Nice, Monaco, all after to Flisvos Marina? You can't, right? So it's a bit of a, like, give me a fucking break thing. But also, good, you know, fine. It's a bit embarrassing, but fine. So, like, this is the French Riviera from Marseille, which is much more like Athens than bloody Cannes. Marseille, let's pull it up on maps. So, Côte d'Azur. So, a lot of French, Northern French and English people will go to the French Riviera. And that, I would say, kind of starts in Saint-Tropez, which is gorgeous. Little towns like this, beautiful, nice, beach town, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of events here too, like rich white people's sports like golf and film festivals and stuff like this. right? So the event part of building out a Riviera as a tourist location is massive, right? Cannes is somewhere here. Of course, Cannes Film Festival. I went to a party there one time. And Nice, which is like the main airport for this place. I lived in Nice for like 3-4 months. And then Monaco, which is a part of it. And if we're talking like events for rich white people, Monaco is like F1, yacht show, all this stuff. They have an event every 2 minutes there. Every time I go there, they have a... they're putting up the big grandstands, right? So let's see if we put Athens Riviera, what comes up? Okay. So slowly, this is what we're trying to build out. Now, I think this is good because, as you can imagine, the center of Athens is just packed, chock-a-block, full of tourists, right? But they don't really come down here, right? They don't really come. Now, for Greeks in Athens, all right, if you want to go to the beach, we might go to maybe Vula, but even then, it's just packed. I mean, most of us would just go and drive out to a proper beach, this Prokopis. Maybe Vardi Vuliagmeni, all right? And we'll go, we might go here, right? So they're going to build this out. Now, a big part of this whole Riviera scheme is Hellenikon, of course. Now, Hellenikon, for those of you who do not know, Hellenikon used to be the main airport for Athens and Greece, right? For Olympic Airways. And I drove past there maybe 2-3 years ago, and you could still see the massive old Olympic Airways planes, right? Just in a field, like the whole place. Like, this is a massive, massive area. And it was just empty and doing nothing in the middle of the city for 20 years, maybe more. Like, Lifado is all around it. My Thea lives around here. Like, people live here. In front, Brostake Piso, right? Like, it's up, down, north, south. Everywhere people live here. It's just this massive hole in the city. And, of course, as many of you know, the tender, the contract to develop this airport into something useful went out a couple of years ago. It took a long time for someone to get the contract. I believe it was Lambda Group who got it. And they have a pretty good success rate, right? In actually doing the job and getting it done. Now, for those of you who do not know Greece or Greek people or Greek projects, we are not in Greece. We are not very good at finishing. Dare I say, in Greece, there's this kind of joke. If you say, it'll happen, you know, when pigs fly in English, in Greek we say, it'll happen when the Thessaloniki metro gets finished, right? Because that took 20, 30 years. I think it's still not done. And it's like one line. Look how basic this line is. And it's still not done. It's not some high-speed rail like Japan. It is the bare fucking minimum, right? Athens, in comparison, like, not to roast Thessaloniki and say that Athens is better. Athens has had a metro for like 120 years. It was one of the first ones in the world. But anyway, it's because they kept running into like archaeological digs and stuff, which, hey, as a history nerd, I'm not opposed to respecting that a little bit. But, so Hellenikon, right? Here we go. Lambda Development. They're the ones taking control of this. What I like about this is you can never, as a Greek citizen, civilian, you look at big projects and you're like, all you can see is the scaffolding. You go, I don't know what the update is. I would like to know a bit about what's happening to my city, especially when it's half the bloody city. But you can never really see updates. And it kind of sucks, right? Now, the first thing we talked about, actually Greeks getting the job done. I think the reason that this is actually getting done is because a private developer actually had to put the money in and he's doing the work. And it's Lambda Development. They actually get shit done. It's not the Greek government in the case of the Thessaloniki Metro, right? And the Greek government has to do some start parts of this contract, but I think it's just a road that goes through. So one thing I like is this on the hellenikon.com.gr, you can go in and see what the update is, right? And like, you can actually see it. Like, you can actually see how things are going. So like, for example, I'm on the website, which is using Vimeo for some reason instead of YouTube. I would have built the website a bit differently, and it's taking forever to load. Greek websites aren't known for being good. Just show me some pictures of it. Come on. Okay, so we have Q1, Q4, Q3. So let's look at the Q1 2024 progress. Like, they've got the foundation in. That's a good sign. Mind you, they made so many edits and redesigns of the Riviera Tower. You're like, this is never going to be made. But man, these are the foundations. The foundations are in. So they picked one. They're moving ahead. Now, from what I saw of the plans, it's going to be one massive fucking casino, which I've never been the biggest fan of degenerate gambling, but I don't really assume Greeks, Athenians are going to be the ones really using the Hellenicon. I think it'll be tourists, which is fine, I guess. You know, whatever about that. It's going to be a big-ass park, too. I like parks. I like green spaces. I think it helps. Well, I know it helps, statistically, health in the cities, right? So, like, and Daxi. I like all the parks and all that stuff. They're building a couple of buildings that are, like, I think, government buildings, like this one. This is a government building for, like, disabled people or something, rather. It's already done, basically. It doesn't look, you know, extremely innovative. It's just a three-story building. But whatever. At least they're using the bloody space now, right? At least something is getting done. So, all in all, this is great. Like, I remember how many times I've driven from Flisvos to Vouliagmeni. I'm like, why is the seaside look so shit? They can't even put a sidewalk or a footpath for the one seaside, the one path, the one coast that Athens has. And it's frustrating, right? Mind you, like, if you go down this road here, just go down this road, the sidewalk is a mess. Now, I think as a coastal city, as a city of the sea, right? The famous Athenian philosocracy. You'd think they'd care a bit more about their connection, the city, which is really the city, because ancient Athens was just this area. Then they had the long walls going down to Pideos, which was another city. The long walls went across here, down this kind of road, whatever, before the Spartans won the Peloponnesian War and told them to tear it down. Unlucky. Should have won. But as a thalassocracy, you'd assume that there's more connection to the sea. Because we are still, as a nation as of Greece, we're still, well, we're not a thalassocracy, but in many ways we kind of are. We're a democracy. And we have the largest merchant fleet in the world, right? Mainly based out of Pideos, right? Now, Pideos, okay. This is a very functional, utilitarian port, right? And all these ports are very utilitarian. They're there for work, so don't worry about it looking good. But from here, you can really start it from here. All of this is recreational. There's a beach. I don't know who would swim there. The water looks disgusting. But, okay, we have marinas and Daxi. This place here is disgusting, looks gross, but maybe the biggest just embarrassment for all of Athens is this area here. What do you want to call this? Leophoros, Posidinos, all this area is an absolute spit in the face. This is the most direct sea frontage of Athens. And if you go here, firstly, there are actually massive piles of fucking dirt, just in front of the sea. They've been there for, I don't know, 20 years now, 15 years. And then, so it's just concrete wall, piles of fucking dirt, trash and malakias, like just trash, man, trash, like a garbage dump, right? And then a massive fucking highway, train tracks, all this shit, and then the city. Now, when you think, I'm not an infrastructure expert, right? But I do know some things. I know that a city should be connected a bit better to the sea, right? If we look at some cities that have, I don't know, some logic, I think Barcelona is a bit of a good example because it was a very old city, just like Athens, an old city. This was a Roman town that expanded outwards very fucking fast. Like all this area here was built in less than 200 years, the last 200 years. And all of the beach, all these beaches are fake sand. They're all made up. They're all fantasy, right? All the sand was brought from Costa Brava all the way up here, right? So like, and their port is very utilitarian, but this area can be developed, right? Now, all this sea frontage is, this might be one of the most popular beaches in the Mediterranean. Actually, confidently, I would say Barcelona Beach is the most popular beach in the Mediterranean. And it didn't exist before the 70s, before the Barcelona Olympics. You can, and here's the thing, the city, from the old town, the city flows down in a nice promenade down to the sea. And so like me, every day I come to the old town, go to my office, and then walk down to the sea, go for a walk and walk back. It flows, everything is connected. Athens, in contrast, if you come down from the city, down this road, firstly, oh my God. Andreas Sigrou, Leophoros Avenue is terrible. I hate this road. Every Greek hates this road. Every taxi driver hates this road. It's the worst, right? What I would like to see is like a Champs-Élysées. What's it called? The one in Paris? Champs-Élysées. A big road like this. It's how many lanes? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lanes with bike paths, with walking footpaths on each side, like big wide avenues. There's no reason that can't be done for Athens. Because something I realized no one does in Athens, I used to do this like an idiot, well, mainly on my runs, but you would never walk from Akropoli all the way down Leophoros Sigrou, all the way down here. It's a long walk, but if it was nice, you'd be have no problem with it. You would never walk from there, opa, and then cut a right into the Stavros Niarchos Foundation building, take a look at that, take this footpath over, and then go down to Flisvos. You would never do that because it's so disconnected and you're going to die on Sigrou. The footpath is fucked. There's strip clubs everywhere that are disgusting and you're going to get stabbed 42 times in the throat. Why would you do that? Right? I think as an extension of the Athens Riviera, which, okay, Athens Riviera, all we know is that for sure, well, not for sure, all we can hope from the evidence is that Hellenikon is going to develop into something decent. At least a bigger, I would prefer a big ass park with just dendera and bloody grass than what is here now. If you put a casino in there, all right, we've got to make some money. I get it, right? But that would fix a big hole in the whole Glyfa, the Athens Riviera thing. But we got to, at some point, solve this, like, piles of dirt, all this trash. I reckon you should just put this massive highway underground so that the city can actually flow into the sea. Put marinas here, put something here so it's actually usable, right? I think maybe the worst part of all this, okay, Leophoros Sigrou and, you know, Leophoros Posidonis, okay, that's a big-ass project. That's not going to happen now. It's not a quick fix. But, like, for example, here, Stavros Niarchos Foundation. Everyone's done this walk. Everyone has done this walk here. There's just, like, massive areas that are just not well done at all. Like, this footpath here, there's, like, scaffolding and shit everywhere. You can't just pave the path properly and put some trees. What the fuck? It's so easy. I could do it. If my full-time job as a gardener was to just garden this path to make it look half decent, I could get it done. And then you come off the Stavros Niarchos footpath here and you're in a fucking car park, right? And then you have to walk, if you want to continue to the Athens Riviera, you have to walk through this disgusting car park that smells like rotting fish. You walk through here, which is just boats that have fucking blown up and shit. You got to walk through here through a car park, walk through this tiny road here, walk through here, which is actually quite nice because you have usually have the trireme here. You have the trireme Olympias. You have the Averof that my great-grandfathers served on to defeat the Turkish navies. And then, okay, it's all right. It's not such a bad walk. Flisvos, Athens Riviera. But, like, mark my words, this will not be the last time I talk about the Athens Riviera, the terrible state of the Athens seaside, and Hellenikon. We'll keep updating. But that's my rant. So let's go to the next topic, which is Ooh, this is a fun one. Byzantine or East Roman Emperor tier list. Now, this is going to be fun. So, my editor and I are both history nerds, and I've been meaning to do this for a long time. I want to go through a tier list of all of the Roman emperors from Western Rome to Eastern Rome, what we call the Byzantine Empire or the East Roman Empire, right? Now, Byzantine is a fucking name that I don't like because that's what the Western Roman Empire or the Holy Roman Empire gave to the East Roman Empire, which was the rightful, it was just the Roman Empire. But of course, the Holy Roman Empire, emperor didn't want to be calling, well, there's only one emperor, right? So they said, well, Constantinople was called Byzantium, a Greek, you know, city that Byzans from Messenia, not Messenia, Megara, colonized, right? So they're like, oh yeah, they're just some dirty Greeks. We'll call them the Byzantine Empire, not the East Roman Empire. But the people of the country called themselves Romae, Roman, right? So what we're going to do is, and as a history nerd, this is very definitive. I'm going to do it quick so that people who don't care don't get bored. I'm going to do a tier list of all the Roman emperors. I've been meaning to do this for a long bloody time. So with that being said, no further ado, let's screen record and let's go. So Roman emperor tier list from 27 BC, which is Augustus, to 1453. Constantinos Palaiologos, right? And I can rank them from excellent, great, good, decent, okay, mediocre, poor, bad, terrible, unrankable, right? Augustus, it's just kind of crazy that the first one was so bloody good, right? He's almost unrankably too good. He was excellent. I think he was the longest reigning emperor too, which is absurd. Tiberius, he was bad, but he wasn't some of the others. Caligula was terrible. Claudius was... He's the one who did, Claudius did, I think he tried to conquer the UK, but didn't. Agrippina Minor, come on. They're making me laugh. Nero was terrible. That was actually terrible. Galba was mediocre. Otho was terrible. Vitellus was terrible. Vespasian was pretty good. Let's put him up here. I'll put him next to Claudius since that's the... Titus was... I'm doing this quickly, so don't hate me. Domitian was okay. Nerva was good. He was one of the five good emperors, right? So I'm going to put him in great, even though he's one of the five good emperors. Actually, I'm not going to put him in great. Trajan was good, but he overextended the empire. He went into... Parthia or Sassanid. Dacia was a complete waste of time and money, but he did a lot of cool stuff. Trajan's Column, he built that bridge, but he's not great. Hadrian was good, but he didn't really do nothing. You know what I mean? Like, five good emperors, again, put him there. Antoninus Pius, again, good, but not great. Lucius Verus, he was one of the good... I actually didn't like him so much. Marcus Aurelius. Now, this is a hard one. Because if we rank it on what he did for the empire, he didn't really do anything. It was just peaceful. He got a good empire and he left a good empire. Actually, his successor was trash, right? His successor was Commodus. Oh, come on. But he was dope. And as a Stoic, I think I would be remiss to not put him in great, right? Even though I don't feel super confident about it. Commodus was a fucking idiot. Pertinax was poor. I don't even remember these guys. I'm just going to put them in poor because if you're not remembered, you can't be any good. Albinus, I think he was terrible, right? Septimus Severus, he was okay. Geta, he's the one. No, that's, I'm thinking, maybe he's the one who built that thing in Thessaloniki. Put him in okay. Caracalla, he built those baths, dude. I know he was crazy, killed a bunch of Christians, but that's kind of what you got to do if you're an emperor of Rome. Macrinus, don't remember him. He was terrible. He was not good. I don't say bad. Thrax, don't really remember him. Didn't he die in Parthia? Gordian, don't remember him. Gordian 2, the sequel, don't even remember that guy. Don't remember that guy. Gordian 3rd, Philip the Arab, put him in okay. Don't remember that guy. Don't remember that guy. Hostilian. You guys are just making up names now. I don't remember these people. Don't remember. This must have been the crisis of the 3rd century. Valerian. Why does he sound familiar? Put him there. Whoa, this guy looks like a... I've never even seen that before. Gallienus. Don't remember. Claudius. Gothicus? Quintilus. Now, I think he was good. Aurelian. The Restorer of the World. Put him in great. Don't remember that guy. Don't remember that guy. Florian. His bust looks really bad, so I'm putting him in terrible. Probus. He was just a bit of a coward, right? I remember. Don't remember any of these people. Third century had so many bloody people. Diocletian. All right. Put him somewhere decent. I'll put him in good. He lived a long time, man. It's not easy. This guy's boss looks terrible. I don't remember him. Don't remember him. Don't remember him. Don't remember. Galerius. He's the one who built the rotunda in Thessaloniki. Maxentius. I think he was an idiot. Licinus is the one who got killed by Constantine. Now, Constantine the Great. What did he actually do? He restored the empire after the 3rd century. And he made the empire Christian, and he moved it to Constantinople. Pretty fucking smart move. I think you got to put him in great. But he's not excellent. He ain't excellent. He didn't do anything excellent. Then all his kids put him in bad because I don't remember fucking a single thing they did. Don't remember. I assume Julian the Apostate. I think we've got to put him in terrible. He actually wasn't that bad. But he just killed so many Christians. Jovian, don't remember. Valentinian the Great. Put him in decent. I don't actually remember specifically what the fuck he did. Valens. I'm trying to remember what he did, but I can't remember. Gratian, again, one of those names, I just can't remember what the fuck they did. Magnus Maximus, don't remember. Valentinian the Third. Now, if I'm not wrong, oh no, I am wrong. I thought that was a different person. Eugenius, don't remember. Theodosius the Great. Is that the one who did the wars? Was emperor. He created a Nicaea. Last emperor to rule the entire Roman Empire before the administration of the province between East and West. Independent, blah, blah, blah. He was the one who... he lived a long time, right? He was Augustus for... Oh, not really. Like 20-odd years. Look, where am I going to put him? Civil War, Massacre, and Aftermath. Hey, a couple massacres, eh? Oh, yeah, that's right. Then he went to the Pope in Milan. Yeah, okay. But did he build the Theodosian Wars? Who built the Theodosian Wars, if it wasn't Theodosius the First? Who built the Theodosian Walls? Byzantine Legacy. What a great website. Oh, I don't want to get distracted here, but I assume that's the Theodosius who built it, so I'm going to put him in good. Ah, I've got to put him in great. Ah, I'll put him in good. It wasn't that great. Arcadius, I think he was an idiot. Constans, idiot. Honorius, I think he was an idiot. Johannes, I think he was an idiot. Theodosius Jr.? Theodosius to Minor. Was he the one? Theodosian Law Code. Oh, he built the Theodosian Walls. Okay, so where did I just put him? I'm going to put him where I put the other Theodosius. And I'm going to put Theodosius Magnus in decent, because I don't know what he did so great. Like, under his rule, the empire officially split up. That's not a good thing. Bulgaria, I don't remember who the fuck that is. Valentinian III, I think he was cool. Put him in mediocre, I don't remember. Petronius Maximus, don't remember. Marcian, I think he was good, but a bit of an idiot. Avitus, don't remember. Majorian, I think he was good, but died too early. Put him in mediocre. Libius Severus, don't remember. Leo Thrax, sounds familiar. Put him in decent, just so I don't feel bad. Glacerius, sounds like a diabetes cure. Theo the Junior, don't remember. Basilicus, don't remember. Romulus Augustulus, don't remember. Don't remember. Zeno. Everyone hated him, right? But he was Greek. Put him in mediocre. Anastasius Dichorus. So, this is the... Firstly, my middle name is Anastasius, right? I think he didn't really do much. He lived a long time. He had a long reign. He was peaceful, mainly. But he cashed up. He made hella dough for the empire. And that's why I'm going to put him in good. Because I think he's one of the most underrated emperors. Because everyone always like, oh, what did you conquer? What did you do? Bah, 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 bah. But you never think... what about all the emperors who just sat on the throne, kept it chill, and saved money for, I don't know, maybe someone going down the line in a few generations is going to restore the Roman Empire, right? So Justin the First, I don't know what that malaka did. Theodora, why is Theodora on this even list? What the... I'm going to skip her. Put her on unrankable because she's not supposed to be here. Justinian the Great. Now, I have to put him in... I don't want to say excellent because he's not a well-rounded ruler, but he is great. And he only was able to reconquer, reconquist the East, well, the West, and the East, I guess, because of what Anastasius Dichorus did in keeping the finances together. I mean, and a great example is because after Justinian left the office, they were broke, right? That's why it all crumbled, right? So, of course, Justinian's going to be there. Justin II, don't know who the fuck that is. Tiberius Constantine, don't remember. Maurice, I think he was bad, don't remember. Focas, oh, that's the one everyone... I went to the Focas column in Rome. It's there in the forum, in the main forum. I think he was terrible. But I'll put him in bad because he's Greek. Heraclius, I'm going to put him in great. And I'll tell you why. He did what most Roman emperors don't do, right? They either suck. Most emperors suck, right? But he... And then the other Roman emperors try and do some big thing and it usually doesn't go well. Or if it does go well, it goes well for like, I don't know, a couple decades and then it goes back to shit, which is actually what happened with him. But he just said, like year after year, I'm going to campaign in the East and push to the East, push the fucking Parthians or the Sassanids back and just campaign through Armenia. Like it was just step by step and methodical and patient. I love that, right? I think it's very, very underrated. I think it's just as underrated as Anastasius Dichorus, maybe more. And then, of course, the Arab raids came through and here we are. Constantine Novus, don't remember him. Heraclonas. Don't remember him. Borgonata, don't remember him. Constantine the Fourth, don't remember him. Justin Rinoneto, is that the one who got his nose cut off? Is that why it's his name? Don't remember. Philopikos Vardanes, I think this is just like civil war after civil war. Theodosius the Third, Leo the Azorian, I think he was a bit better, I don't want to put him bad. Arthabasos, I don't fucking even know who that is. Constantine, don't remember that name. Tif, don't remember that name. Irene. Okay, I'll give you an honest answer. Irene was ready to sell out the East Roman Empire for anything. She was not a commander, she's not a leader. How many people she poisoned, no one knows, but I'm going to put in terrible. She's ready to sell out the whole empire to marry, what's the magnificent guy in the west over there? The Frankish dude? Charlemagne. Give me a break. Logothetis. The name Logothetis is actually, in my family tree, which we'll do on another episode. But I think this is the one that... No, Andronicus is the one, so I'll get to that. I think... No, we're not even there yet. Oh my God, there's so many East Roman ones. Ozodiakos, I think he was a bit better. Rangabe, I think he was a Malacca. Armenios, I don't remember. But I'll put him in okay because he's Armenian. Tomislavos, sounds like he's like Serbian or something. Put him in poor because I never heard of him. Again, oh no, okay, you're not terrible, bro. I didn't mean it. Theophilos, I don't remember these people, man. Theodora. Let's put all the Theodoras in unrankable because I don't remember what the fuck they did. All right, Theodora, she's not... Okay, Theodora can go... The real Theodora can go into bad. Okay, she's not bad, dude. She's decent, all right? Fine. Michael III, I don't remember him. Basil of Macedon. Now, he, if I recall correctly, started the... Macedonian Renaissance? I don't remember. I feel bad. No, I don't think he did. But whatever. Let's say he did. Just because his name's similar and I don't remember what he did to the great... Let's put him in decent. I'll put him in okay. I don't want... I like that we have very few in the top. Leo the Sixth. I remember what the fuck he did. Put him in okay. Alexander, I went and saw his mosaic in Constantinople. I don't remember what he did. Zoe of Athens. Jesus Christ. Put her in put her in terrible. I hate her. Romanos Lacopenos. I don't remember what he did. Put him in poor, though, because I feel like he did something good. Constantine, born of the purple. I think he was good. Just a bit underrated. But I don't really remember what he did. Put this guy there as well, since they have basically the same name. Nicephorus Phocas, the white death of the Saracens. All right, now we're talking there. Let's put him in... Look, he wasn't great. But now that the world has shrunk, the Roman Empire has shrunk, great has a more relative meaning, right? Now, he wasn't excellent. He wasn't great. And maybe he wasn't just good, because Anastasios is good. I'm going to put him in great. Yeah. Yeah, I'm down for that. Zimisces, our Armenian friend. I don't really remember what he did. I remember he was good. So I put him in good. And now it's time. Play the music. Wait, let's actually play the music. What are we going to play? Agni Parthene Thespina. Agni Parthene Thespina. Ahrande Theotoke. Alright, so he is excellent. Need I say more? Need I say more? Like, really? You know... If you're like, hey, George, maybe he's just great. Look. Look who's in great. Marcus Aurelius, look, he's dope. I like his books, man. He kept the peace or whatever. He didn't conquer anything, but he kept the peace and he was good. Aurelian almost restored the world, but he didn't. Constantine the Great. All right, he moved the capital to the east, which was smart. He defeated Licinius or whatever the dude's name was. He made the thing, everyone Christian. Dope. But he didn't conquer anything. Right, the odds weren't stacked against him. It was kind of like, yeah, you against him, back versus wide, A team versus B team, fight, good luck. Good luck to you, brother. Not bad. Justinian, all right, he conquered the world. Belisarius conquered the world. And even, I don't want to give it to him, but bloody Narses also fucking did all the conquering. Justinian sat there, is he here? You know what I'm saying? Heraclius, he had a good job, he did a good thing, but then the Arabs came. Nikephoros Phokas, again with the Arabs. But he died. Like, all of them have a yes, but Basil did one. Firstly, the odds were stacked against him. His bloody empire was falling apart. Every single year, he went to war himself. East, west, north, south, Armenia, Georgia, the Arabs, the Bulgars, the Serbs, the bloody Christians, the Franks, the Lombards, everybody there. It was a crisis. And he triumphed year after year after year after year. He might have had his failures, but he kept coming back. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Even Augustus, right? All right, the odds were stacked against him. He had a civil war against A team, like I'm saying, A team against B team. It was like a fair fight. Vasili, then he had like a fair fight, bro. It was not fair. It was never fair, right? And he didn't just win. He eviscerated the Bulgars from the map. When did Bulgaria even become a country again? Like a couple hundred years after? Even the Ottomans didn't even let the Bulgars or Bulgarians have a country. He eviscerated them, right? And they were winning. And then he wiped them off the face of the earth. Now, look, you say, hey, George, you didn't leave an heir. Dude, don't worry about that. Who cares? He was a savage. Are you listening? A savage. You know you're a savage when you war, go to war every bloody day, and the Armenians are like, I can't figure out who to give my kingdom to, my sons, my nephews, they were my lackeys. You know what, Vasilide, take it. When was the other time in all of Anatolian history where one kingdom was like, you know what, there's this bigger kingdom, don't go to war with my kingdom, just take it. There's only, I can only think of one other time. When the Greek kingdoms post-Diadochi Wars were like slowly being taken over by Sulla, by Caesar. And then one kingdom, it would have been someone, some there in the highlands. They're like, you know what? I'm dying. I don't have a kid. Rome, just take it. Cool. You're such a winner. Just take it. Only Armenia. An Armenian state was like, you know what, Vasili? You just destroyed the Georgians because they got a bit restless. They thought we were down. Wrong, we weren't, we up. And the Armenians were like, look, bro, I'm dying, I got no kids. We'll just come under your rule, take it. Like, that's just boss mentality, boss aura. Aura 1000, bro. Things were good. Legend. Great. Not great. Excellent. Okay, that was a long rant. Constantine the Sixth, born of the purple, sick name. I won't put you in bad, I'll put you in poor though, because I don't really remember what the fuck he did. Romanus Argyros, again, I know what the fuck he did. Michael Paphlagonian, I don't remember what he did. Michael Caliphate, Caliphates, that almost sounds Arab. I don't remember what you did. Zoe, born of the purple. I remember what she did, but I don't think it was good. I'll put her in poor. Constantine Monomachos. I don't really remember what he did. But he does have a sick mosaic that I saw. So I'm down with it. Theodora Porphyrogenus. Porphyrogenutus. Yenitis. Put you next to the other Theodora. All right. Theodora Armenia. I don't even remember what she did. But she's not. They're not terrible. All right. I'll take you out of it. Zoe was a Malacca though, right? She's the one from Sparta. Was a Malacca. Or was that Irene? Put them there together, Mazi. At the bottom of the list. Marcus Stratiotico. I don't remember what he did. Isaac Komnenos. He's a Komnenos. So I'll put him a bit higher. But I don't remember what he did. When's the Lascaris coming? When was the Fifth Crusade? Lucas. I think he was good. But I can't remember what he did. I think these are all just like civil war guys. You know, like, just been at war with each other. Romanus Diogenes, I don't remember what he did. This one, I feel like I saw this face on the crown in Hungary. I remember I was trying to find where I was in life, and I was in Budapest. And I didn't want my girlfriend knowing that I smoked cigarettes at the time. So I would go out and just walk the streets of Budapest, beautiful city to do that, and just drink coffee, smoke, and go to the museums. I went to a museum, like the archaeological museum, and there was this perfectly, one of two perfectly, what's it called, preserved Byzantine crowns that they gave to the East Roman Empire gave to the Hungarian Empire when he gave them their what, princess or whatever. I think that's from that. I can't remember. It's the same design anyway. But Botaniatis, I think he was a civil war dude. Don't like that. And then we have Alexios Komnenos. All right. Now, this is the Crusade days. Now, he's not excellent, but fuck, he was smart, dude. So smart. Like, don't forget, if I'm not wrong, and maybe I am wrong, but I'm pretty sure this guy invented the Crusades. Like, he invented it. He asked Ella Pope, bring your boys, let's go to war with the Arabs and Muslims. Like, baller move, dude. So I've got to put him in great. Like, to not put him in great would be remiss. I feel like I should put Trajan in great, but he didn't really do shit. John Komnenos, was he a baller? I remember seeing his mosaic. I always mix up all the Komneni. I'll put him in good because I don't want to put him next to Theodora. Manu Komnenos, I think, was good too, right? But I can't remember. I think all the Komneni, the Komniads, the Komnenioi were good. But I can't remember. Alexios Komnenos, that sounds like the first one, but I don't think he was as good. Andronicus Komnenos. Now, Andronicus. I got to remember all my Andronici. I think Andronicus Komnenos. Andronicus Komnenos. So, why is it in Spanish? So, my family tree starts interlinking with top brass of the Roman Empire when they retake Kisida, because they get the Notaras, which is connected to my family, which is my family, at some point. But I think that is a later Andronicus. So, all right, this Andronicus, he ain't nothing special. Mind you, the Empire is bloody dying at this point, so these guys can't be that good. Alexios Angelos, I don't really remember. Murtzufli, what the? All right, you don't deserve to be there. Lascaris. Now, if I'm not wrong, that's why I don't remember this last guy. Where are you, bro? I fucking regret that. You and your stupid name. Can I reverse? Where's that guy? Because if I'm not wrong, this is the guy who let the bloody Fifth Crusade come through and take Constantinople. Terrible. Terrible. Lascaris, if I'm not wrong, he's the one who created the Nicene Empire and started to bring back everything. And he was actually a great administrator. Everyone always, like, he put libraries in cities and everything. Like, he was actually pretty solid. All the Lascaris, in my eyes, are solid dudes. Even though I can't really differentiate what the fuck they do. John the Third Vatatzes, I don't really remember what the fuck he did. But put him in mediocre. Theodore Lascaris, I think he was pretty dope. All the Lascari, I think he was the one who retook Constantinople. I can't really differentiate the Lascari. John, he probably did some dope shit too. All the Lascari are pretty cool. Now we get to the Palaiologi. Now, if I'm not wrong, they're all pretty shit, except for the last one. Because, well, they lost. Now, my family intertwines with the last few Palaiologi. So, look, put them in bad. I don't know what they did, but they all did, like, mediocre shit. They're making alliances with the Turks, anyone, man. Andronicus Kithira. Let me try and find which Andronicus. Yeah, show me this page. This is probably the one. I always forget. Andronicus II. There we go. Thank you, Google search. So, now, if we convert this to English, just tell me if you're the one who bloody, yeah, can you put this in English there? Are you the one who reconquered Kithira, bro, from the Venetians? I think he was the one who's like, we don't need a navy anymore. Destroy the navy. Stupid. Okay, so this Andronicus, I'm actually currently in Barcelona, right? And I'm living on Carrer de Roger de Flor, right? Which is the street of Roger de Flor. And this Andronicus Palaiologos, he hired the Catalan company. It's from Catalonia, from Barcelona, led by Roger de Flor, this guy here, to come and kill some Turks, right? And then he did a great job, but of course, being Greek, we didn't want to pay. So then we cut his head off, and then his company just took over basically Thessaly and Attica and massacred us. What are you going to do? what year was he? So 1300s. I think he was the one who took... It's got to be a Not That Us somewhere here. Maybe it was another Andronicus? I don't remember, dude. But they all sucked. it's got to be that one. Which one? Just show me Lucas Notaras, bro. So my family tree goes down to Lucas Notaras. And I always forget which emperor he served. So he served the last emperor. But Lucas is descended from family from Monevasia. His early surviving sources. He captured the island Kithira from the Venetians for emperor. Oh, it was Michael. The 8th. Michael the 8th. Repuisesi. Bro, I'm never going to find this guy. Michael the 8th. Palaiologos. Dude, I'm never going to find him. Anyway, I regret that putting him wherever I put him because I probably just put him anywhere. But he deserves to be something good because he brought my family line, family tree in line. Anyway, John the 5th, I'm pretty sure he bloody... Okay. I don't know. What did I put him? Put him in bad. These are all pretty bad. They're just making deals with Turks and Europeans left, right, and center. We're all pretty bad, dude. This guy went to the west to try and do a thing. And just because you're an... He lost, which is not baller, but he died doing what he must, so that makes him good. So this is my final tier list. In excellent, we have two people. Basil II, Bulgar Kratos, the Bulgar Slayer. Vulgarokhtonos. Basil II, the Bulgar Slayer, and Augustus. Marcus Aurelius was good. I mean, Basil II and Augustus, they speak for themselves. Do I really need to go through this again? Please. Aurelian almost restored the world, didn't. Aurelius was dope, kind of like made Stoicism dope, and it was peaceful and good. Constantine, Christianity, all that. Justinian, you know, restoration. Heraclius, I thought he was dope. I know a lot of people would disagree. Phocas, White Death of the Saracens was dope. Komnenos, the Komnenian restoration, I think that was dope. Claudius, Vespasian, Trajan, Nerva, Hadrian, Antoninus Pius, Diocletian, all dope, you know, Roman emperors who did some dope stuff, some bad stuff, but they're good. They're fine. They did what a Roman emperor was supposed to do. Theodosius, Theodosian Wars, he did a lot of good politicking, getting as much power from the West as he could. Anastasios, Dicotus, I think underrated, good financier. He basically put all the funds together for two generations or three generations later, Justinian. Zimisces, Armenian, he continued some of the good work that Postoles Phocas did. Didn't he kill Phocas? I thought they were friends. I can't remember. John Komnenos, I can't remember what he did, but I thought he was dope. All the Komneni are in there, all the Lascari are in there. The last, because they restored shit and reconquered Constantinople. And, of course, Konstantinos Palaiologos is there because, I really need to explain, he died like a G. So that's our tier list done. I think we'll end it there. We had a good kind of range of stupid stories, news, infrastructure, and history. I'll end this little story, this little podcast, the first Gringlish podcast, with kind of... news for me. So I just went to money with my mother, flew in from Barcelona, took an Audi A4, which apparently is a nice car. I quite liked it. I don't really know anything about cars. I've never driven a nice car. So it was nice to actually drive a nice car. I'm slowly understanding it. I always liked Top Gear, but I always liked Top Gear because the boys were doing, like watching. You know what I'm saying? Like watching Top Gear is like the boys, you know? I don't really care about cars. I think it's interesting mechanically how they work, but I think I like driving that nice car though. Anyway, I went to, drove down from Athens to Mani, drove all the way down to Muntanastaki, Gore, whatever the fuck that abandoned city's called, because I always saw photos and stuff. And it's completely abandoned. It's just rocks, man. Like, there's this quote by this English author who's like, when God made the earth, he emptied all the extra rocks in money. And it really does feel like that. Like, it's so depopulated. I thought, and actually, like, Kithara is depopulated, 3,000 people. Prepnaki, like, some anthropy in money. It's fucking empty, man. And my friend Theo in Athens, he's like, dude, they're so, like, sparsely populated. All the towns are so far apart because they all hate each other. This is the land of vendettas, man. And you can tell. It's in the air, dude. They built all these towers up so the families across the street couldn't stab them in the street. In the, like, they had to defend themselves in their own houses, man. These are crazy people. That's why the Independence Wars started there, which was cool to go to Areopoli to see where Mavro Mihaly started the wars, the Independence Wars in the 1770s and 80s, if I'm not wrong. I bought a Niki Thanatos flag. That's going to be dope to put in my apartment. So that was really great. Spent time with my mom. That was good. Went to Messenia, ancient Messenia. And when I walked into the big sanctuary of Messenia, like a fucking lightning bolt almost struck me. Thunder went off. They're like, not these Spartans again. So that was pretty fun. We did an olive oil tasting. That was really dope. Actually understanding like the different grades of olive oil. What I kind of learned was, if it ain't extra virgin olive oil from Greece, don't eat it. It's just garbage olive oil. It's absolutely disgusting garbage. Forget about it, bro. Like, that's how bad. Even virgin olive oil. It's got to be extra virgin, bro. If it ain't extra virgin olive oil from Kalamata, Messenia, somewhere in the Peloponnese, please, don't. Like, the other oils that they had, like even extra, even virgin olive oil, it's a bit lower in fat content, so it doesn't burn as much when you're cooking, like frying stuff. But even then, bro, I want to use the best. Like, please. The other oils are like the discarded remnants of like the olive oil process. It's got to be extra virgin olive oil from Kalamata, from Greece, from Messenia, somewhere in the Peloponnese. Or don't even use it, man. I didn't realize there were so many levels to it, but anything that ain't extra virgin olive oil is garbage. Anyway, so that was fun. So we went to Messenia. I really want to buy a big farm in Messenia facing the west so I can see the sunset. Just olive trees, little spitaki, very humble, stoic little house. Just I want a view, olive trees, mountains, and the sea. I'm not asking for too much. But I want it to be big. I love the Peloponnese. Very cool. I drove all the way down to Nafplio to drop my mum off. She went to Kithira. And then I drove back to Athens. Saw some friends and jumped back on a plane to Barcelona. So money was dope. I'll probably be back. I love Messenia. I am always in the other valley, in the Spartan Valley, Eurotas Valley. So, and I'll be back there at the end of the year, November, to do the Spartan 5K race. But I like that other valley. It's much more fertile. It's actually easier to get to, even though it's further away from Athens, it's easier to get to because it's just more highways. And yeah, I just did my 21K beast Spartan race, which was actually 25K and 1.8K elevation. I got it done 6 hours, 22 minutes, nothing special. I got terrible tonsillitis a few days before, so I don't even know how I finished it. And I remember while I was running it, I was like, I'm never running a long distance race again. This is terrible. I hate my life. And then it took like 24 hours for me to be like, that wasn't that hard. I can probably do something harder. And the next level for the Spartans, there's three races in the Spartan, 5, 10, and 21K. I've done them now. You get like a little piece of a medal, three pieces of medal, you put them together, you did the trifecta. But there is an ultra race, 50K. And I shouldn't do it. But there's something in me that cannot listen and must do hard things. So I'm thinking about it. If it's the right race, honestly, if it's not over mountains, Malika, I'll do a 50K beast, no problem. But if it's over mountains like this one, it's like, that's double the distance plus whatever, 10K, right? It's insanely hard. Well, actually, it's just double the distance because my one was 25K. But like, that's tough. And it's like 50, 60 obstacles. But anyway, for right now, all the races that I have lined up right now, I only have one, the 5K race in Sparti in November the 2nd, 5K. It's not too hard. But I want to do it quickly. So I'll lose 5 more kilos, get my cardio up and go from there. But that's that. That's all I'm up to now. And I have to go for a run. I don't know if I talked about this, but I didn't talk about this, but we are starting a run club in Greece and Cyprus. And we have one in Athens. We have one in Thessaloniki, Larnaca, and Lefkosia. And we're all going to set it up. It's going to be slow, but we're starting run club. And I like the business idea. Got the good people behind it. And we'll be going from there. So I will see you in the next episode of Gringlish.